Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for day two of the Demand Gen Summit track. It's been a great day so far, second day of the conference, or third day rather, and I hope you're enjoying everything. I'm thrilled today to introduce Dana Rothman, author of Lead Generation for Dummies and of Bright Funnel, to talk to you a little bit about data and analytics and how to turn data into actionable insights for marketing. Thanks, Dana. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'll come here. All right, guys, I'm super excited to be here. It's been a great conference so far. Always really like the event that these guys put on. So again, my name is Dana Rothman, and I'm VP of Marketing and Sales Development at Bright Funnel. Bright Funnel is a revenue intelligence platform that helps both sales and marketing kind of get actionable insights into all of their different programs and campaigns. And so what I'm going to talk about next is something that is, very dear to my heart, how B2B marketers can turn analytics into actionable buyer insights. So really, how to look at your programs in a very data-driven way in order to understand the full buyer journey and, what to say and when. So a little bit about Bright Funnel. Again, revenue intelligence platform. So, we can really help with some of these, analytics trials. So analytics and metrics have always been dear to my heart. I used to work at Marketo and ran content there. Very analytics-driven organization. So as I've kind of moved on through my career, I'm always looking for new ways to track things and to really use that data and put it into action. And so as you guys really know, today's buyer journey is incredibly complex. There is multiple interactions that take place on multiple different channels, making there'd be a lot of data available for marketers today. And, not necessarily anything that I need to tell you guys, but it's really difficult to harness that data and actually to put that into action. What do you really do with it? And as marketers, we do a lot of things. There's a lot of different asks from all over the organization, all different areas to focus. And each one of these channels and these different things takes a lot of effort, time, resources, and, of course, budget. So, marketers, we do a lot, and this is not an exhaustive list at all. I actually had created this slide for one of my SKOs at a previous job to be like, we do a lot of things. Like, these are all the different things that the team does. But how do you know where to spend the time, what's moving the needle, and like what your buyers are actually engaging with out of all of these different things, that you're doing? And a lot of these different programs that you do and the content and, even the events that you go to, a lot of it is generally, historically based on guesswork. So up until recently, it was very difficult for marketers to determine, what is actually moving people through the funnel, what's driving revenue, what's driving pipeline. And it ended up being like, well, I kind of think that trade show went really well. I mean, we got a lot of scans. People were engaging with us. But there's got to be more of a science to this. So the holy grail of marketing is really turning that buyer journey into a science. Into being very prescriptive in how you think through what the journey is for different decision teams and, different segments that you are selling into. And that means, having the right message, sending that to the right customer, and the right time. And I think that we're getting, even really closer and closer to making something like this a reality in our day-to-day. Again, that's something that, I've kind of struggled with is how to really put this together. Actually, before I was at Bright Funnel, I was at another company, Everstring, and we were a Bright Funnel customer. And I really was able to derive the type of analytics that I needed in order to run my business and to create that science more effectively. And so I ended up, joining the company because of my kind of love for analytics in this type of, scientific way of looking at things. And it's not an exact science, and I think that, it's going to evolve so much, especially as data science and machine learning, really kind of come to pass in more of a, a concrete way. But, as you're thinking about all these things, this seems really hard. So how do we as marketers really get to the bottom of the customer journey? What are some things that you can look at across, you know, what you're going to say, content, you know, where you say it and how you say it? That's going to be what I am going to go over in today's session. So, you know, trying to get you guys to leave here with some actionable things that you should be looking at and you should be measuring. And, you know, again, you don't necessarily, I mean, of course, it's a lot easier to do this if you have a type of attribution platform, but a lot of this, you know, can be kind of done otherwise. And so, you know, by making this really a business imperative and trying to drive that culture of measurement is going to be key to making a lot of this work. So leveraging the data to determine what marketing and sales touches work throughout your funnel enables you to orchestrate your full customer journey, and that's a personal goal of mine. You know, how can I do this better with my team as the team grows so that we, you know, as a small marketing team with a small budget, like how can we be more effective in our spend? So what should you track in order to orchestrate the buyer journey? And so I'm going to go through kind of each channel and tactic and talk a little bit more about these in detail. But from a high level, the different types of metrics that, you know, I really like to look at when I'm thinking about orchestrating the buyer journey, first touch attribution. So what brings people into your funnel? This is more of kind of the traditional type of marketing metric. This is historically what marketers are tracking, and this is probably one of the easiest ones to track. But it is also incredibly important as you're looking at your top of funnel, what kind of brings people in. Multi-touch attribution is kind of my favorite metric out of all of these ones. And that's looking at how every marketing touch really accelerates people through the funnel. And this is becoming more and more important as you see bigger decision teams at accounts, as buyers get more complex. There's so many different interactions that they have with your company. You know, only measuring the first touch leaves out so much of what you guys are spending your time and money on. And so if you're not tracking this and you're not like getting the credit for this, it ends up being a detriment to, you know, your full marketing plan. Last touch attribution, so looking at, you know, what programs convert people into ops or into customers. So what's that really that last touch from a marketing perspective that really sends them over the edge? Looking at velocity, so how fast different content channels and programs really move people through the funnel. You'll notice that there's different amounts of time that, you know, some programs or channels take, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that they take a long time if they're very high quality leads at the end, but something for you to be aware of because that'll help you orchestrate better. And then doing full account analysis. So how do all these things add up to determine the best path to sale? And so this can be done starting on an account level. You can also, you know, segment some of these things based on, you know, industry, company size, whatever it is, trying to get that full picture will help you determine some of the trends. So let's first talk about what should you say and content marketing. So content marketing is really the fuel for all of your demand gen programs, even bottom of the funnel programs. You will need some type of content in order to make those programs, you know, generally effective. So before you can figure out, you know, when and where to communicate to your customers, you need to figure out what you should communicate in the form of content. And content has, you know, this is probably one of the most difficult things to track, especially holistically as you're looking across how things perform in each channel, you know, what content assets kind of work where, and what messaging works. But this is, you know, one of the key things to figure out, you know, as you're starting to orchestrate all these different pieces. So the, you know, the important thing when you think about content, really anything that you're doing, is that you need to have different offers for different stages in the buying process. So when I think about metrics and buyer journey orchestration, I'm really thinking through top of the funnel, what works for the awareness stage, middle of the funnel, what's working for evaluation, and then bottom of the funnel, what's working for that end purchase stage. There are different metrics that map to that you're going to look at for each of these various sections of the funnel. But, you know, as you're kind of putting these things together, this is how I generally split it up in these three kind of easy buckets that I can put things in. And you will notice that you're going to find a lot of trends in kind of what works where. And so how do you, you know, how do you know for sure that you are sending the right content and the right message? You need to test and measure this stuff constantly. So what are some things that you can look at? So I've got kind of various examples here from a content perspective. So the first thing I want to know is what content brings people into my funnel. So what are the pieces of content or, you know, the different messages that attract people that I don't know yet? So this is the first touch attribution for content downloads, you know, on multiple channels, looking at website landing pages, how people are coming into your website, unique page views and referral sources. So these are some top of funnel metrics that will tell you, you know, more specifically what types of content brings people in. And so when I'm looking at that, I'm looking at what type of leads were sourced from content, MQLs, ultimately what, you know, revenue and pipeline are sourced from a specific content asset. And looking at this also, you know, there will be trends per channel when you start breaking the content down. But looking at it holistically is also important because, you know, you will find some trends from a first touch perspective. For us at Bright Funnel, some of our kind of first touch content assets, it's a lot more of our thought leadership, of, you know, our ebook. Sometimes people do come in for a request, a demo, but there are a lot of kind of trends that I can like glean from, okay, these are the types of pieces that are bringing people in. And then from like a blog perspective, you know, figuring out what are the different landing pages that people come through on the website and making sure that I'm writing content to speak to, you know, that stage in the journey. You can take this and, you know, segment it out by industry, segment it out by persona, however you're kind of looking at it and tracking it. So we do, you know, track this in Bright Funnel. There's a lot of other ways that you can begin to think about this as well. But, you know, what content brings people in is critical. And then what content accelerates people through the buyer journey? So this is something that is always more complex. So this is looking at, you know, what content moves your lead through the funnel on multiple channels. Like, what are really those middle pieces that make up that full buyer journey? So looking at content that, you know, converts leads from MQL to SQL to ops into close, and then ultimately pipeline and revenue. So that's the key metric that I'm looking at when it comes to multi-touch content. It's how much revenue and pipeline do these content pieces influence across the journey? And again, you know, for us, it's more kind of request demo. We've got a lot of case studies in here. You know, it's kind of what you would probably expect for a later stage pieces of content, which is great to see. So that means that, you know, okay, I'm serving people the right things at the right time. I've got my top of funnel, kind of more, you know, thought leadership-y ebooks, bringing people in at the top. And then I have my case studies that are influencing deals towards the bottom of my funnel. So, you know, what I'm doing here with content is good. And as you create more content, and we're just starting here at Bright Funnel to really build that out, but as you create more and more, you'll find, you know, even more kind of very interesting trends. And then looking at the last touch, what converts people into opportunities or into customers? So that last touch attribution for content that moves leads in the bottom of your funnel. So looking at like that last piece of content that was consumed before, you know, the rep flipped an op or before the op came to close, and figuring out, you know, what are kind of some of those key pieces there. They might be case studies, they might be buyer guides. You know, you'll generally see some more kind of bottom of the funnel content there. But you also might see some surprises there. Like we've got a couple of what I would have thought kind of more top of funnel pieces that are influencing at the bottom of the funnel. So that's the great thing really about tracking is, you know, you can have your guesses and your hypotheses, but really the, you know, the metrics and the numbers are what's going to definitively tell you if your hypotheses are correct. And so we're constantly looking at these. And then another metric as well that you wanna just keep in mind as you're doing this is always keep track of content trends. So, you know, when should you retire a piece of content? You know, when is like the peak of the interest in that piece of content? Are people still downloading your content over time? And then looking at, are the right people downloading that content? So when, you know, I work with our content manager and looking at like the life cycle of a piece of content, we're always looking at, is it trending up or down? If it's still trending upwards and people are still downloading it and I know they're the right leads and the right, you know, MQLs, and I can see like, oh, okay, this is, you know, kind of going up quarter over quarter, then we'll still keep a content piece in rotation. If it's going out, you know, trying to figure out, okay, maybe we're serving it to the wrong people, or, you know, should we kind of retire that piece of content altogether? And, you know, looking at these metrics kind of holistically will help you determine, you know, what that right message is, and you can start to create that very data-driven content matrix of what works where, depending on your own metrics. So then let's talk about where should you say it. So what are the different channels and programs and campaigns that work for you as a business? And so, you know, there's a lot of different channels that you guys, that us as marketers, that we can be on. I often, myself, have that problem of, like, I want to try all these different channels, do all these different things, but, you know, how am I actually going to dial that in? I mean, I'm the type of person that, like, wants to do all the things, so I need to, like, rein it in a little bit. And the only way for me to do that is to know, you know, more definitively, okay, what channels are working for us. And there's often a ton of, you know, kind of surprises that'll come up that I won't initially, you know, have known. So what channels bring people in? So the same type of measurement that you're going to do from a content perspective, you want to look at from an overall channel perspective. And by channels for us, we're tracking the website. We actually have I also run our account development teams, so like our inside sales reps, and we do look at them as a marketing channel. So the ADR team, they're a channel. They have different campaigns that they run within that so that I can see it in this full picture of how our inside sales team, you know, really works in with the marketing touches. You know, we're also doing trade shows like this. We're doing webinars. We're doing content syndication, sponsored emails from vendors, you know, our own emails. So all the things that you guys, you know, kind of are, I'm sure, are typically doing. But it's important to understand from a channel perspective, you know, is there a difference between what channels are bringing people in and what channels are influencing folks throughout the buyer journey? You know, what's sourcing leads and what's sourcing ops, meaning that they're, you know, high quality leads. And so, you know, do the leads originate from different channels? Do they move through the funnel at different velocities? So one of the things, and I'll talk to you a little bit about velocity later in the presentation, but one of the things that I look at is, you know, what the timeline is for a certain channel of how many days does a lead turn into an opportunity, turn into a deal. So that enables me to, you know, better plan much more sufficiently if I know what the timeline is, so that I can kind of prepare for pipeline. So if I do content syndication program today, I know, okay, content syndication takes about, you know, 90 days to, you know, get to the next step or an opportunity. I can plan out that's going to turn into pipeline at this date, and it helps our team be, you know, a lot more sufficient and, you know, a lot more focused when planning. And then what specific campaigns bring people in? So going a level deeper from the channels that you're looking at, you want to understand what programs are working across all channels that are the best for sourcing pipeline and revenue. And so I will generally, you know, especially when I'm doing like quarterly planning or my team is doing quarterly planning, we'll look at these types of metrics holistically across all channels to be like, well, what programs are working, you know, the best for us? And, you know, that goes down to what specific trade show, you know, what specific email campaign what we're doing. And, you know, again, you end up having a lot of surprises here. One of the things, and kind of one of the reasons why I keep coming back to this show, is because I found in, you know, historically in the other companies that I've worked at, is that this show, B2B, MX, and C2C, has one of the highest pipeline and revenue generation rates for us. And so I know that it's a very targeted show, and it wasn't one that we were necessarily like expecting to be up at top near, even as, you know, very close to Marketo Summit. But because I'm looking at these types of metrics and my program managers are looking at these metrics constantly and tracking kind of the growth of different programs, you know, those are the types of insights that we're able to glean. And so from a planning perspective, you know, if you're getting down into really the details here of how many leads, MQLs, SQLs, ops, pipeline revenue that each one of these programs and channels bring in, you know, I can say to my team, hey, we need X amount of leads and X amount of pipeline next quarter. What do we need to do? And they can go and look at the reports and the metrics and say, okay, well, the past two quarters we've been doing this and it's generated this amount of leads, and come up with like a pretty, you know, solid estimate of what exactly we need to do to get where we need to be. And then, of course, looking at the ROI of each of these programs is also really critical. So is it bringing in more than, you know, I am putting out? And so, you know, for us at Bright Funnel, I mean, there's a lot of key programs that work really well for us. SEO ends up being kind of one of the number one things, which is great. So people, you know, are coming into our site organically. Our ADR team, you know, demo request campaigns, the different trade shows, those are what performs the best for us. So that's where I'm going to be kind of doubling down. So now from multi-touch perspective, again, what channels are accelerating people? And so going back up to that channel level, looking at what channels perform best in the later stage of the funnel, you'll often find that there is a difference here. So often you'll see that, you know, something like a trade show, which is much more face-to-face or a field event, will kind of pop up to the top. We have, from a multi-touch perspective, our ADRs, which they do a lot of targeted outreach. You know, that'll bubble up to the top of what's working to move people through our funnel, you know, in a lot faster rate. And then for there, I'm looking at what channels influence the most pipeline and influence the most revenue. I mean, ultimately, these are the key metrics that you want to get to. You want to get to those number metrics. So when I show this to our CEO or, you know, to the board, this is what they want to see. It's like, well, how are all these things and, you know, actually affecting revenue? And these are also key metrics to show to the sales teams as well. So that they know how these are influencing, you know, what they're doing. And then again, from a campaign perspective, you're looking at it that level deeper of what specific campaigns accelerate people through the funnel, looking at that multi-touch perspective. I also like to, you know, kind of segment these types of analysis out by target account, company size, so that I can figure out, okay, is there a difference in my different segments or in my target accounts, especially when it comes to acceleration. So if you're really focusing in on ABM, you're most likely looking at these multi-touch metrics or these account-based metrics, and so acceleration is very important. And so you'll want to, you know, have a view on, you know, what's bringing in close deals and revenue from an ABM, you know, perspective as well. So you're looking at all your accounts. And so when should you say all these things? So how can you kind of put the content and what you're gleaning from the metrics together so that you have a more full and holistic buyer journey? So, you know, what is the optimal order and how do you kind of think through this? So, and remember, everything, you know, again, should be mapped to your sales funnel. So as you kind of come out with all of these different metrics and you're like, okay, I've got my content matrix and my campaign matrix, my program matrix, now it's time to map it to what specifically works in each of these areas. So one of the things to do to test out some of these hypotheses is to do opportunity and account analysis on your target accounts or, you know, closed deals or open opportunities. The first thing to make sure, you know, in order to do this correctly is that you connect all of the leads and contacts to an account. That's really critical. Generally, you know, if you're working on a Salesforce, you know, your reps are probably not, you know, attaching all of the contacts to the opportunity that needs to be. But you as a marketer need to make sure that you're looking at that because that's your decision team. Those are your, you know, account influencers. And there could be between 8 and 10 in a B2B, you know, deal cycle that you need to account for. Like, that is the full buyer journey. And so looking at trends in, you know, the order of what content is downloaded by different accounts, what channels and campaigns were effective in what areas of the funnel for different types of accounts, how fast certain campaigns move leads down the funnel, and then also how sales activity integrates into the overall buyer journey. So looking at your sales emails and your sales calls to really figure out, like, how does that cadence work? How is it working for my top accounts? And, you know, is it an effective way that we're integrating the two, you know, kind of different touches? So I'm going to walk through kind of an example of how this can be done and an example of how I look at pretty much every opportunity that comes through at Bright Funnel to do this type of analysis. So the first thing is to examine the full deal engagement by looking at all of the marketing touches for each key contact within an account. And so in this example here, I've got actually 11 total contacts at this account. Of course, only a couple of them are, you know, attached to the opportunity itself, but I'm going to look at all of them because they're all influencers in the decision team. And then from a first touch perspective, and so LinkedIn ad was one of the first touches, you know, for this account that was coming in to, you know, promote this boot camp. So that's always really interesting to find out that like social brought people in. Middle touches that, you know, were important here, email nurture, so multiple people in this account were interacting with our emails, dropping by our Dreamforce booth, looking at an infographic, downloading different content pieces, and then coming up with kind of the last touch, you know, commonalities, downloading the pieces of content and looking into kind of a virtual event. But there's, you know, a lot of interaction that happened in this account to keep track of. And if you look, and this is not the full account snapshot either. There was a lot of other stuff that did not fit on the slide. But when you are looking at the trends here and when you look at them across accounts, you will hopefully find some commonalities. And so when I look through this, you know, this is what I have delivered to the sales team of like, hey, here are all the other interactions with all the decision makers that you guys might not necessarily be aware of. So then how do sales activities fit in here? So in addition to marketing activities, I look at all sales activities in an opportunity or in an account. And for this particular opportunity that I was looking at, it was an email-centric focus for sales. I saw that sales was sending follow-up, you know, after each key marketing activity. Sales was following up asking for meetings and also meetings at trade shows. You know, towards the end of the funnel, sales was reaching out, you know, telling the prospect what they were missing out on by not, you know, not purchasing our solution. Sales was emailing with case studies, and then also, you know, I found kind of the closing emails. And so when I was able to put it all together, you see a very kind of complete picture of what that full journey looks like across account. And then I also understand like what sales is doing. In this particular case, the majority of the outreach they did was email. Sometimes calling and social is in there as well, and you'll find some trends there. And then channel engagement. So what are the channels that are the most common between, you know, what are the contacts engaging with an opportunity? You know, what are the right channels for this particular target account or this particular segment? You can also do these different types of analysis based on, you know, segment if you don't want to do it per account, because that can get kind of, you know, depending on how many opportunities that you have, and get crazy. But this is really interesting and really helpful, especially on, you know, an opportunity level, because then you can keep serving these people this type of content that you know that they're engaging with already. So in this example, I can see the variety of different things that the full account had engaged with. And so this account, 30% of engagements were with external vendor emails, which is great to see. You know, that's a paid program. We're working with Demand Gen Report, our marketing profs, to send emails out on our behalf. So like checkbox on that, it's working. 26% of engagements were with our webinars, and 22% of engagements were with internal emails. So I can understand, you know, what this particular account engages in, and, you know, where in the buyer journey these different things, you know, sit, and what type of trends can I glean from it. And then looking at the decision team. So, you know, I've talked about the decision team being really, really important to, you know, how you're putting this all together. Again, there is generally, you know, could be 8 to 10 people within a B2B decision cycle. And so what works for these folks, and like what are the titles of these folks that are engaging with you? And then what are they engaging with? And so, and are you seeing a trend between like what manager folks are engaging with versus what your VP or C levels? And then you can create more of that content. So, you know, here, the majority of the engagement is with, you know, manager level employees, which is not necessarily surprising. Those are generally the people that will download the content, you know, kind of bring your solution into their business. 29% of engagement was with marketing, with VPs and directors. And then in this particular example, we don't have any CMO engagement, whether or not there is a CMO that kind of existed here. But that also tells me, like, need to do some more work and, you know, create more content and programs that speak to the C-level. So this will tell you kind of where you're a little bit light, and then also, like, who the majority of people that are responding to your programs are. And if there's any trends here. I mean, this to me is pretty much what I would expect in a B2B sales cycle, is to have like the practitioners engaging with more than the VPs. But it's also nice to see that, you know, so large, we have 30% engagement from the VPs and directors in this particular account. So we are also speaking to that level. And then channel velocity is something that I have spoken about as well. But the channel velocity will really help you kind of put this all together if you understand how many days each channel or each program takes from, you know, ultimately from lead to deal. And so we look at days from lead to opportunity, opportunity to close, also looking at leads to full deal, and then the full deal count for each of these channels, segmented, you know, per particular quarter. Sometimes I look back 6 months or a year because, you know, some of these different programs take a while. Like, we can see returns on an event like this or an event like Marketo Summit. I can see returns on that for, you know, almost a year. So it's important to keep track, especially your bigger programs will take longer to move through the funnel. And then how do you kind of think about it and put it all together? So tracking engagement per account or segment and knowing what works for bringing people in and accelerating them through your funnel. So having that, you know, very specific knowledge and finding trends between like the what and the why and the where and the how for all of your different accounts. Knowing what works for different roles and different titles, which roles and titles actually engage with content and channels. If you're finding across the board that a certain role or title isn't engaging with your content at all, you know, do you want to spend time to, you know, to have them engage there, or are you going to spend time creating more for the folks that are already engaged? Know the velocity of different channel types and campaigns. And then orchestrating the ideal buyer journey based on the results that you're finding, continuously optimizing and, you know, testing. And of course, this isn't an exact science. You do have to put the pieces together, but if you do put the pieces together, it can be very, very successful. So here's kind of an example buyer journey based off a 6 month cohort that, you know, I've looked at amongst our contacts, our accounts, opportunities, as well as like overall program performance. So for us, you know, this is a good kind of outline of what our potential buyer journey is. And this is mostly for kind of SMB here. So from a first touch perspective, content syndication, I found that content syndication with an ABM, kind of ebook about ABM, has been very successful in bringing people in for the first time. Multi-touch followed by ADR outreach as kind of the second step there after the content syndication. Then followed by a website visit where most people will download our definitive guide to multi-touch attribution, put them in the email nurture program, doing an internal webinar kind of after that. Also, the one step that works really well before kind of opt conversion is we've been doing this email call for demo with a $50 Amazon gift card. So I'm going to put that kind of at the end of the mid funnel. And then for the bottom of the funnel, trade show like Serious Decisions or a trade show like this for kind of that face-to-face connection. Direct mail, so we do a lot of direct mail with like a cookie campaign or cupcakes to get people excited. Field events like a dinner, so later stage in the funnel where you are doing that kind of one-to-one type of relationship building. And then the case study to kind of kick them over to, you know, ultimately the purchasing decision. Getting another ADR outreach and then sending them content that's more of kind of a buyer guide. So by looking at all the different metrics of channels, and this is not program specific, but I do have, you know, this level of data as well, but from a channel and a content and kind of a tactics perspective, this is how you can start putting things together for the different segments of your business and then testing what you have, you know, ultimately put together and orchestrated, you know, based on your metrics. And so that is all I have. I know we do not have any time for Q&A, but I will still be here around. You can come visit me at the Bright Funnel booth if you have any questions. We're booth number 202, I believe. But thank you so much, everyone, for coming to the session, and enjoy the rest of your conference.